Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of God, good morning. Welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones. And I'm looking to contend this morning. I'm looking to kick some can, some spiritual can, up and down this broadcast today. The number here for Paula White to call is area code 516-418-5978. Paula, if you don't like what I'm saying about you, if you don't like the fact that I have dubbed you the dumber half of Trump's dumb and dumber prayer duel, you can call the broadcast or you can have your brilliant son call the broadcast to defend you. Also, if Jensen Franklin doesn't like the fact that I've been talking about him since, 2018? He can call the broadcast at, again, area code 516-418-5978. Well, my brothers and sisters, I've been telling you that there is a prayer duel in the White House. It's not a dynamic duel. It's a dim-witted duel. It's a dumb and dumber duel. And it's really hard. It's really hard for me to pick which one of the two is the dumber of the dumb and dumber team. Because, listen, I have to tell you, I had to flip a coin. I had to flip a coin. Paula heads, Franklin tails. And it landed on heads, so that's how I picked that Paula was the dumber of the two. She's the dumber of the two. Dumb and I had to flip. Listen, it was a coin toss. I had to do a coin toss, a heads or tails deal, to figure out who is the dumber one of the Dumb and Dumber team. And boy, do these clowns like to pray. They love to pray. They love to pray. They love to pray. Yes, they do. They love to pray. Paula loves to pray. Paula likes to do spiritual warfare. She likes getting in the spirit. She likes causing satanic miscarriages. She likes to bind and loose satanic systems. She likes to decree and declare. Well, if she gets up this morning, she better decree and declare that her face look right. Because the last time I saw a picture of her, it looks like they beat her with an ugly stick all weekend long. All weekend long, they beat her with an ugly stick. And then after that person got tired of beating her with an ugly stick, here comes another person and beat her senseless with a stupid stick. Dumb and stupid. Grotesque and stupid. What a combination. What a combination. But that's Paula Michelle Furr. That's really her name. Her stage name, because, you know, she's just a hypocrite. Paula Whitecane is a hypocrite. She wears a mask. She even wrote a book, Take Off the Mask. I believe, if my memory serves me right, she wrote a book, Take Off the Mask. Please, put the mask back on, because the face that you got now, my goodness gracious, they beat her senseless. They beat her senseless with an ugly stick. That plastic surgeon, whatever he did, he pulled here, he pulled there, and my goodness gracious, she looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon. That's what she looks like. Have you ever seen the creature from the Black Lagoon? Google the creature from the Black Lagoon. Google that. And that's Paula White. Have you ever seen her hands? Compare her hands. Just listen, take a good look at her hands, and then get a side-by-side picture of the hands of the creature from the Black Lagoon, and that's Paula Whitecane. Look at Paula's feet, and then take a look at the feet of the creature from the Black Lagoon. Same feet. Look at the legs. Have you ever seen Paula White's legs? Have you ever seen Paula White's legs? They're two toothpicks. Look at the creature from the Black Lagoon, and he's got two toothpick legs. But the worst thing about the Gill Man from the Amazon, the worst thing is that mug, is that face. Oh, did they beat him with an ugly stick. Hollywood beat him with an ugly stick. And that's what they've done to Paula White. You look at Paula White, listen. Listen, if I had to choose between going on a date with the creature from the Black Lagoon or going on a date with Paula White, I would go on a date with the creature from the Black Lagoon. That's who I would go on a date. If I'm sitting across Paula and we're having dinner, I couldn't keep my food in my stomach. Just couldn't. She ugly. Oh, my goodness, is she ugly. She has destroyed her face with so many plastic surgery. Have you seen that lip? The other day I went to do a little bit of shopping with my wife, and one of my tires was low. So I decided, I said, listen, I'm going to go. Not only is one of our tires low on air, but I also said to my wife, we got to get gas. So I was pumping the gas, and then my wife was putting the air in the tire. And I told my wife, I said, listen, there's a certain weight to this tire. You got to fill up the tire with so much air weight. And whatever you do, don't make this tire as bloated as Paula White's lip. And she started to laugh. She says, you so bad. I said, listen, have you ever seen Paula White's lip, bottom lip? They put too much air in that tire. Somebody's got to, listen, put a pin in that thing. Put a pin in that lip, in that bottom lip. It's got too much air. Does she have a mirror? Paula White claims to be a millionaire. I doubt that, because how can you be a millionaire and not have a mirror? Doesn't she see what she looks like in the morning? Oh, have you ever seen her on Fox and Friends in the morning, early in the morning? Oh, I can't keep my oatmeal down when I'm watching Fox and Friends. And there comes Paulo. They have Paulo. Oh, my goodness. Put a sheet over the TV. Put a sheet over the plasma. Listen, block that thing. Can't keep my oatmeal down. Can't keep the grapefruit down. Oof. And Jonathan Cain has to look at that every morning. Every single morning. That guy must want to stab his eyes. I'm telling you, he must want to stab his eyes. Well, listen, Paula White Cain is the dumber half of President Trump, the 45th President Trump. Dumb and dumber, dim-witted prayer duel. Now, I have some audio here because I like to play some audio as I do this third show on Paula White Cain, and I hope everybody did their homework. I hope everyone looked up that Twilight Zone episode, which was entitled Caesar and Me, because that would give you a good perspective. It'll give you a good perspective as to who Paula White is. Okay, now, I have this audio on Jensen Franklin, and this was the audio that we used during his sermon, Jezebel's Children. There's an audio. Now, I didn't play this part during my teaching series, and by the way, if you want the outlines to that teaching series, all you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I will make that teaching series 20 outlines, my brothers and sisters, 20 outlines just to show you that Jensen Franklin is a false teacher extraordinaire. Now, here is Jensen Franklin, and I want you to see, he's going to talk about prayer, and he mentions two things about prayer that I want to highlight here for you. This is the video that's out there on YouTube. It's called Jezebel's Children, Pastor Jensen Franklin. It was posted on a live stream July the 28th, 2019, and I'm starting right from the very beginning. You've probably never heard this portion of this sermon before, because I don't believe I played it on the show. All right. Should be coming on any minute now.
Come on and let's praise the Lord this morning. That's really how I feel. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. Every praise belongs to him. Give him all the praise this morning. You know he's a good God. You know his mercy endures forever. And that he's a faithful God. Give him all the praise. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you.
We're having a little technical difficulty here, but it should be rolling shortly. Okay, let's see what we can do here to help this thing. Let me pull it up again.
Jesus, I celebrate you today. Your mighty name, your mighty kingdom.
We're pulling up another audio. This is, for whatever reason, it stuck. By the way, listen. We are pulling it up shortly. And we should be talking about Jensen Franklin. And here's just, it's a very short audio. But it really shows how Jensen Franklin even has a very bad theology when it comes to prayer. Now remember, that's all Jensen Franklin does. The guy spends his time fasting. Jensen Franklin spends most of his time fasting and praying. In fact, he's like the guru. He's like the guru of fasting. And yet, this guy is stupid. You would think if he would fast, he'd say, God, bless my mind. All these years of fasting, and he's stupid. That's who he is. Okay, so let's see. Let's see if I can find this Jensen Franklin clip. All right. Here we go. Mr. Jensen Franklin. Seems like we have too many audios loaded this morning, and that's why we're having these technical difficulties. But we should be here shortly, any minute. We should be up. We should have the audio up and running. This is classic. You gotta hear this. Probably you'll never hear anyone point out these critical points that I'm going to mention. And, okay, where is this Jensen Franklin audio? And I want to thank everyone for the kind words and the appreciation for, all right, well, I get that. Let's play this. Let me play this. Here we go again. Thank you for bearing with us. Here we go. There's an embedded commercial. Let me remove the commercial. All righty.
Turn to somebody and say, let's have church. Y'all bless my soul today. I'll just tell you that straight up. That blessed me. Tell our choir we love them. Tell our team we love them. That's just great music. Just great music. Oh, they throw it down this morning. That's a song we used to sing years and years ago. I like those old choir songs every once in a while. Praise the Lord. I feel good. That blessed me. How many of you are happy today? Turn to somebody and say, I serve a happy God. He ain't upset. He's not frowning.
Hasn't he read what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs? God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. What is he talking about? We serve a happy God. What is that? What is that? This is nonsense. We serve a happy God. I guess they must be serving happy meals in heaven. He's not frowning. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. What are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? This guy's a clown.
Happy. He said this is the year of favor. Because Jesus died on the cross, there's favor on your life today. Boy, all you got to do is start giving God praise. All the praise. For the victory he has won. Do you feel that way today? So good to be home. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open them to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Next Sunday is going to be one of those Sundays that...
Now, listen to this verse. He's going to tell you why next Sunday is going to be a special Sunday. Listen to this.
It's just highlight of our year. We do this annually. We've done it for decades now. We lay hands on all of our children, all of our coaches, all of our educators, all of those in any way who are going back to school. We lay hands on them and ask God to bless and keep them and anoint them for a new school year. And I just think it's going to be one of those Sundays. I'll preach a little briefer message next Sunday, but it's a word from the Lord. And then we have it down where we lay hands on literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Bring your friends, bring your families, bring them in. How many of you still believe in the power of laying on of hands? I do. I do. And Sharif and I will be here laying hands on your babies and your loved ones and our team, and it's going to be just amazing.
All right. Now, he wants to lay hands on the children and on the coaches and on the teachers and so they can have a wonderful school year so that they can do a whole lot of learning. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't crack open a book, you're not going to learn. If you don't do your homework, you're not going to satisfy the teacher's requirements in class. If you don't prepare for your final exams and take your final exams, you're not going to pass. Listen, they can lay hands on you all you want, but if you don't crack open a book, if you decide to cut class, if you decide that you're too tired to do any homework, and if you decide to take your midterm and final exams without preparing for them, laying on hands is not going to do anybody any good. You can lay hands on people till the cows come home. Praying for people to get A's in school isn't going to do anything. Laying on of hands does not work unless people apply themselves. Because had it worked, this guy here, Jensen Franklin, he wouldn't be preaching the dumbest messages ever preached because he could have laid hands on himself and he could have been an Einstein. He could have had his wife, Charisse, lay hands on his empty head and he would have been an Einstein. He could have went over there to Oz and had the Wizard of Oz give him a diploma like he did the Scarecrow and he would have been an Einstein. Laying on of hands, you cannot find anywhere in the Bible where you're told to go have someone lay hands on you so you can have a good school year. Again, this is nonsense. Nonsense. You don't need to lay hands on people for God to protect them. Where do you find that in the Bible? There are specific times in Scripture when we are told to lay hands, specific times. Crazy costals and retard costals have invented many, many, many different reasons for laying hands on people, none of which are scriptural, none of which are going to do anything for anybody. I don't care how long this dim-witted scarecrow prays for people, it's not going to affect them positively if they don't do what they're supposed to do. Listen. I knew when I was going to school down in New York City, I went to school with a lot of Chinese kids. I went to school with a lot of Indian kids, from India. A lot of Chinese and Indian were in my high school. They were in my high school down in Brooklyn, New York, John Jay High School. I had a lot of Oriental Chinese kids go there, and a lot of Indian kids. Do you know that those people didn't serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Many of those Chinese knew nothing about Jesus. Many of those Indians knew nothing about Jesus. But you know, they were getting A's. Those Chinese kids and those Indians were getting it. Nobody was laying hands on them. Nobody. But you know what they were doing? You know what those Chinese kids were doing? You know what those Indian kids were doing that were just blowing us out of the water, us American kids, we're born here and raised here. You know what they were doing? Blowing us out of the water. You know why? Because while we were goofing off, while we were hanging out on the stoop, while we're hanging out on the street corner singing our doo-wop songs, Those Chinese kids were hitting the books. Those Indian kids were hitting the books. That's what they were doing. So if you don't apply yourself. Oh, and by the way, when I was in high school, I was going to church. And they were praying that we would be smart. But you know what? The pastor forgot to tell us to study. The pastor forgot to tell us to do our homework. The pastor forgot to tell us to prepare for the exams. See, now they prayed for us. They lined us all up. They, yeah, line up here. We're going to pray for you. The school year starting, and they went to praying. But we didn't go to studying. So that's why we brought home C's. While the Chinese kids and the Indian kids brought home A's because they applied themselves. The Bible says to preachers like myself and Jensen Franklin, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, I grew up and I realized, I had better study. Now, Jensen Franklin is still goofing off. He's still laying hands on himself. He has Charisse laying hands on him, and he's as dumber than ever. See, the dumb and dumber, dim-witted duel, Paula White and Jensen Franklin, who think that we just lay hands. We're going to lay hands, Charisse and I. We're going to lay hands, and you're going to have a good school year. Oh, we've been doing this for decades. Why are you so stupid then? Why are you a dunce, an ignoramus, and a retard? I wrote a trilogy called Spirit of Python's Dunce, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, Spirit of Python Retard. I document how stupid, how super stupid this man is. What a retard supreme he is. No amount of laying on of hands is going to help anybody in their schoolwork if they don't crack open a book. If you crack open his skull, you'll find out that there's a huge empty space between both ears. It's empty in there. It's hollow. If you were to speak into his empty cranium, you would hear an echo. What you would, I would say, Jensen, and his reply would be, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, I'm stupid, I'm stupid. That's what you would hear. It's an echo chamber in between his ears. There's nothing there. And Jensen, if you don't like what I'm saying, you can call 516-418-5970, and I won't hold my breath. Now, here's the other thing he says here about prayer. And this is what he's into big time now. This is what he's into.
I just got in. Drake and I, my son, got in from Brazil yesterday, and I preached a conference over there. And when I got there, I'd never been to Brazil. And when I landed and went to church that night to preach, the president of Brazil came. And they asked me to pray for him, and I laid hands on him and prayed for him. They had their whole national press there.
Oh, the president of Brazil was there, Presidente Jair M. Bolsonaro. He was there. I laid hands. He's even got a picture of him laying hands. It's a photo op. I laid hands on the president of Brazil. And something's going to happen in Brazil. Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Nothing. Nothing. These people, like Paula White and Jensen Franklin, they are so stupid. They traipse around the planet. They globetrot from one end of the earth to the other, looking for photo ops to add to their resume of them praying with presidents. You're never going to find a photo op of Jensen Franklin praying for the little boys and girls in his church. No, that he won't post. But he's going to, he has it up there on the big screen that he's got his cameraman. Don't forget to take this shot with me praying with the president of Brazil, because I need to add to my resume all the presidents that I'm praying for, including Donald Trump. See, that's what it's all about. Now look what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all those who are in authority. Now, again, in this text that Paul is telling us to pray for everyone who's in authority, it doesn't mean I have to get into a plane and go to Kenya and pray for the king of Kenya. I don't have to get into the plane and fly into Moscow and pray for Putin. I don't have to go to the Ukraine and pray for the president of Ukraine. I don't have to go over to India and pray for the prime minister of India. I don't have to go to England and pray for the prime minister of India. No, no, no. From my prayer chapel, from my little prayer closet, I can pray for all those who are in authority. I don't need to lay hands on them. I don't need to have a photo op. I don't need to brag about it. I don't need to tell anybody about it. It's between me and God in the prayer closet. But this dimwit who loves photo ops with political leaders, and he likes to show himself praying. Now, remember, this is the same dimwit who wrote the asinine book, The Spirit of Python. It's the same dimwit who preached the sermon, Jezebel. This dimwit is laying hands on people. I would say to him, get your hands off of me. Get your hands off of me. I don't want you laying hands on me. Please, those are dimwitted hands. Those hands are so, how do I know they're dimwitted? Because you haven't cracked, your hands have not touched a book. Your hands have not touched a dictionary. They have not touched an encyclopedia. Those hands have not touched a lexicon. No, you're not touching me. You're a moron, with a capital M. Moron. As they say in Brooklyn, New York. Moron. I like the way they say it in Brooklyn, New York. What is he? What'd you call? A moron. A moron. That's what he is. That's the way they used to say it in the projects, in the Red Hook projects. What is he? A moron. Got to put a little emphasis on the mo. The moron. That's what he is. That's what he is. So here he is with I'm praying for the president of Brazil. Maybe he'll come into my little town and pray for the mayor who oversees 300 people in this little hamlet. We have 300 people. In this little hamlet proper, where this mayor is the mayor, he's got 300 people. And listen, this mayor's putting signs on every lawn. He knocks on my door. Hello, sir. Would you give me permission to put an election sign on your lawn? Go ahead and knock yourself out. Are you praying for me? No, I'm not praying. I'm praying for you. Would you vote for me? No, I'm not going to. Well, why is it that you're going to pray for me and not vote for me? Well, I'm going to pray for you because the Bible says I should pray for all those who are in authority, but I'm not voting for you because you did a lousy job. Well, can I put the. Yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out. No, go ahead. No, I can put it. Stick five of them if you want. Put five signs on my lawn. I don't care. Knock yourself out. He wants to know if how are the 300 people going to vote for him? It's crazy. So I'll have. You think Jensen Franklin wants to? You think if I said to him, come into my town and preach a revival, and I'm going to have the mayor there and could you lay hands on the mayor? No, I'm not coming to your town. Why not? Well, it's not worth it. Because your mayor's a nobody. But doesn't the Bible say to pray for all those who are in authority? See? He's got to be, you see, they like presidents of countries. Presidents of countries.
And they really were not expecting it, but he and his wife decided to come into the service, and he came in and they worshiped with us, and she stayed for the whole service, and God moved. And
so look at this. He lays hands on the husband. He cuts out. He doesn't lay hands on the wife. She stays. So much for the laying on of hands. Tennyson Frank lays hands on her, and he leaves. He doesn't lay hands on the wife, and she stays. Oh, my brothers and sisters, how we don't have our thinking caps on. So this is, listen. This is the dumb on the dumb and dumber presidential prayer team. This is the dumb one. This is the dumb one. This is the one who wants to lay hands on people so that they can get straight A's, but he says nothing. He tells them nothing about hitting those books, doing your homework, preparing for your exams, go to school every day, don't cut class, don't say anything like that. Sharice and I, we're going to magically lay hands on you, and you're going to get great scores, great grades. And then, of course, and his people are clapping. Oh, they're clapping because he was in Brazil and he prayed for the president. But the president left. He didn't stay, but he cut out. Maybe the president went to go meet with a girlfriend while his wife was in church. Remember how JFK would be in the presidential movie theater? And he would be watching a movie, and then when the Secret Service would get JFK a girlfriend, he would leave Jacqueline, his wife, there watching the movie while he would go have secret rendezvous with his girlfriend. Come on, saints. The president of Brazil. Who knows what he was doing? Who knows? Maybe the president of Brazil was taking care of governmental business. Who knows? But it's funny to me that the one that he lays hands on leaves the place, and the one he doesn't lay hands on stays. That's Jensen the moron Franklin. Well, here's the dumber member of the dumb and dumber team. This is the dumber member. Now, this is a clip that I played yesterday, but now I want you to hear the rabbi. This is the rabbi. Who is praying at the Rose Garden just before Paul LaWhite came up to pray. Now, look at his temperament. And by the way, if you listen to all of the previous people who came up to pray, they have the same temperament that the rabbi has. Listen to the rabbi. Listen to him pray.
And to console those whose loved ones have made the ultimate sacrifice. Almighty God, we thank you for this nation of loving kindness and for the great privilege and joy of living here. May you continue to protect it and to shower your blessings upon it. And may we merit your love now and always. Amen.
Now, that I put the tail end of his prayer because you didn't need to hear the whole. I just wanted you to see temperament. I wanted you to hear the pace in which he was praying. I want you to hear that. Now, here comes Paula. Now, seven people before her, seven, went before her to pray. They all prayed like that rabbi you just heard. Now, this is the dumber half of the dumb and dumber prayer team that the president has. Here's the dumber half. Here she is.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to all grab one another's hand right now. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I know they're a little bit sweaty, but this is the last prayer, okay? Thank you so much. So, Father, I am privileged to come to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We lift your name up, and you said you would draw all men unto you. So right now, we thank you for this wonderful White House, our President, First Lady, First Family Administration. We declare it to be holy ground. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we thank you for the goodness, as we thank you for the prosperity of our nation, for your blessing, for your hand, now we lift up our President. You declared in Jeremiah chapter 1, 5, that before he was ever formed in his mother's womb, that you had set him apart and you had ordained him. According to Psalm chapter 1, according to Psalm, you declared in 139 verse 16 that you ordained all of his days before one of them ever came into being. So not one day takes you by surprise. We thank you that you have already given him the victory through Christ Jesus. And we understand Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness, and darkness. So we declare every demonic network to be scattered right now. We declare right now that there is a hedge of protection over our president, first lady, every assignment, the purpose they carry in the mantle. And like the apostle said in Galatians, Apostle Paul said, I was set apart from my mother's womb and marked off by boundaries. For let him fulfill all the will of the Lord and do the assignment God has carried him to do for your great name, for your great nation, and for all your people in the world. I decree this and declare this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. And according to Job 22:28, what I decree and declare is established. And everybody said, amen.
Yeah, and you know who's waiting there for Paula? Two guys with a straitjacket. That's what that, they're right there. They look like Secret Service, but no, they're from the asylum. Did you hear that? Where's she going? This thing is ending. You don't need to rush. But that's Paula. That's Paula. So now, my dear brothers and sisters, let's talk about today's show. Let's get into today's show. We've been talking about how there's two kinds of dumb. There's two kinds of what? Two kinds of dumb. When a demon takes over a person, in some instances, the person who is demon possessed does absolutely no talking. We discussed that in the first broadcast on this teaching series. We talked about that. How the Gospels record that there were some people who had a dumb spirit. The people who had the dumb spirit did not allow those that they had possessed to speak. Those people, while they were demon-possessed, remained speechless. They uttered no words. That's one kind of demonic dumb. The second kind of demonic dumb is the one we were talking about yesterday. It's called demonic ventriloquism. Demonic ventriloquism. Now, demonic ventriloquism is when one is possessed by a demon, and that demon allows that person to never shut up. See, in Paula White's case, she never shuts up. In Jensen Franklin's case, he never shuts up. The Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and they get up and they pray for this one, and they get up and they pray for that one. And they're always talking, and they always have a word of the Lord, and they always have a revelation, and they always have a vision, and they always have, you know, a now word, a rhema word, and they never shut up. They never shut up. So in one extreme case of demonic possession, where the person is considered dumb, that person never speaks. Then there's another extreme, because there's no middle with the devil. There's no middle. Two extremes. One is you never speak, and the other one is you speak too much. You talk too much. You say too much. There's too much gibberish coming out of your mouth. Too much nonsense coming out of your mouth. That's the second kind of dumb that Paula White reflects. And the reason why is because demons need a host body from which they can speak from. Remember I told you to go check out that video on the Twilight Zone, that episode, that wonderful episode on the Twilight Zone called Caesar and Me. Caesar and Me. Now, I have a little clip. It's not very long, but here's a little clip of the ventriloquist and the demon-possessed puppet called Caesar. Here it is. Thank you.
Susan, why don't you go find somebody else?
The truth hurts, and you're too scared to tell my aunt because you're behind in your rent.
Now, the ventriloquist Jonathan, who can't find any work, no clubs want to hire him. I mean, he's just going from one club to another, auditioning with his puppet, with his dummy, if you will. His dummy's name is Caesar, and the ventriloquist's name is Jonathan. And so Jonathan's in trouble because he keeps going to these auditions, but nobody finds his act very appealing, so they don't want to hire him. So he lives in a boarding house, and the boarding house woman who runs the boarding house, she has a little niece called Susan, and she, you know, she has a sassy mouth, and here she is, and she's taunting this old man. This is an older man. This man can probably be her father or even grandfather. And she's taunting this man and because he can't find a job. So now Jonathan leaves the hallway and he goes into his little furnished room where Caesar is sitting in a chair and him and Caesar have a conversation. And, of course, Caesar's running the show because Caesar is the demon. And Jonathan is the host. All right, here it is again. I'm going to start it from the beginning.
Jonathan can't find a job.
Oh,
Jonathan.
Susan, why don't you go find somebody else?
The truth hurts, and you're too scared to tell my aunt because you're behind in your rent.
Now what?
I don't.
Now that's Caesar. That's the demon inside the puppet. That's Caesar. Okay? That's demonic ventriloquism. That's what I wanted you to see.
I don't know. Seems no matter what I try, I fail. If I could just get some money together, just enough to buy some food and pay the rent, I could think clearly without these pressures.
Just a little money for food and rent, is that it? Is that all you want out of life?
I guess so.
You're a clod. A real clod.
I try. I give it my best.
Your best stinks.
Oh, in the name of heaven, Caesar, I've had enough.
I'm the one that's had enough. Get that through your head.
What do you mean?
Let me spell out the cold, hard facts. The way it's gonna be, and what you're gonna do.
Oh, forget it. I'm a failure.
Will you shut up and listen? There's all kinds of ways to get hold of money.
I've tried everything.
You have not tried everything. Now shut up and listen.
Now, you see, there is Caesar, the dummy, the puppet, demon-possessed. And he finds this loser, and he says to this loser, listen, you, there's a lot of ways of making money. And, of course, what Caesar's referring to, dirty ways of making money, what the Apostle Paul calls filthy lucre, what Paula White likes. So let me submit to you that Paula White, like Jonathan here, you know Jonathan in the story, and this is why I want you to watch the entire episode of The Twilight Zone, because Jonathan is a loser. And demons like to pick losers and turn them into winners. Have you ever scratched your head? Have you ever figured out, wait a minute, isn't Paula White Trailer Park, isn't she a Trailer Park dimwit? By her own admission, by the way. And Paula, you can call the broadcast right now because I have some audio that I can play for you. And we're not making this up. Paula White said she was a Trailer Park loser. That's what I've heard many testimonies of Paula White referring back that when she was in the Trailer Park. She was a Trailer Park loser. Pretty much like this guy Jonathan here. But you see, she bumped into a demon that gave her a groovy deal. And this demon has shown Paula White many ways of making money. Many ways. Many ways. Let me read to you. Let me give you an example of demonic ventriloquism. Let me give you an example. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 16. Book of Acts chapter 16. It says, starting at verse 16, Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Notice you're going to find prayer dummies. You're going to listen. You're going to find dumber. You're going to find the dumb and dumber of the prayer of the presidential prayer dimwit duel at prayer. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, a young lady possessed with the spirit of divination or a spirit of Python or a spirit that practices demonic ventriloquism. That's what it is. That's demonic ventriloquism. And if you want to find out the two kinds of demonic ventriloquism, let me refer you. Let me just tell you where to go, because you need to go back and read this again, because perhaps you read it and didn't get it the first time. You didn't get the importance of it the first time. In my third book in the Spirit of Python trilogy called Spirit of Python Retard, Spirit of Python Retard. And the reason why I called the book Spirit of Python Retard is because Jensen Franklin, the moron, teaches that Satan, as the Spirit of Python, slowly slithers into your life and slowly squeezes you to death. He slowly squeezes the anointing out of you, because Satan is a Python snake. No, you're a retard is what you are. The spirit of Python has to do with demonic ventriloquism. There are two kinds of demonic ventriloquism in the Bible. You get your first picture of the first kind of demonic ventriloquism in my book, The Spirit of Python Retard. You got to read chapter 4. Chapter 4 is entitled Jensen Franklin, an Old Testament Retard. And what you will discover in that chapter is that I give you all the evidence how the Witch of Endor was a puppet or a dummy for a demon, a familiar spirit. This is the first example we have. It's an actual story. Now, we get many Bible verses in the Old Testament speaking to us about demonic ventriloquism, but we have an actual story of a woman who operated in demonic ventriloquism. She was the dummy. She was the puppet. The demon would speak through her. It's the Witch of Endor. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And in my book, Spirit of Python Retard, chapter 4, entitled Jensen Franklin, an Old Testament Retard, I give you that in detail. That's on page 69 through 100. You got to read that chapter. I don't need to go into great lengths on this show explaining to you what demonic ventriloquism is, because I wrote extensively on it, and you'll find it in the third book, Spirit of Python Retard, Chapter 4, which is entitled Jensen Franklin, an Old Testament Retard, starting on page 69 and going through page 100. There I show you how the Witch of Endor was the dummy for the spirit of divination, or what we call a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is one who reveals, or who claims to reveal, information about the dead. Okay, and of course, King Saul was in trouble, and he needed a prophetic word. He needed some insight into tomorrow. So he said, "Find me a woman with a spirit of Ob, with a familiar spirit, a spirit that resides in the belly." The spirit of Ob is a spirit that is in the belly, in the stomach. That's where it resides, and from within the stomach, it comes up through the larynx, comes up through the voice box, and it reveals the future. You got to read this chapter. I don't need to go into depth. If you read the chapter, you're going to be blessed. You can see all the footnotes. You can see all the research that was done. There is no argument there. Not against that. It's fully documented. Now, that's the first example of demonic ventriloquism. The second example is here in Acts 16:16. And this young lady who had a spirit of divination or a spirit of Python was not consulting the dead. She was predicting the future. She was a prophetess. She was telling people their fortunes. Let me read it again. This is the second kind. But notice it's ventriloquism, but one will claim to speak to the dead, and one will claim to speak on behalf of the spirits who know the future. And both women had the spirit in their belly. Demonic ventriloquism. It's all there, and it says here in Acts 16:16, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination or a spirit in her belly met us. What did she do? She met us, and she brought her masters much gain, many riches, by means of what? Soothsaying or predicting the future. That's what she did. She did that. That's what she was a money maker. Now, notice this demon that this young lady had to do a lot of talking, because people would come, they would pay their fee, and then this girl was, when these people paid their money, when they paid up front, they were expecting to get a prophetic word. So this is not the first kind of dumb where the demon ties your tongue and you don't say anything. This is the second kind of dumb where you're expected to do a lot of talking, because making money depends upon you being able to give people the information that they seek about tomorrow. Two kinds of ventriloquism. You see two kinds of dummies. One dummy doesn't speak. The other dummy can't stop speaking, like Caesar. Now, notice that Jonathan here doesn't have a clue as to how he's going to make money. Jonathan doesn't have a clue. He doesn't. Now, remember, Paula White Cain, that's her stage name. That's the name. Listen, Paula White Cain is Paula's stage name. You want to know what her real name is? Paula Fur Friga. That's her real name. Her maiden name is Fur, Paula Michelle Fur. And then Jonathan Cain's real last name is Friga. But notice, Paula Fur Friga is not a good stage name. So she's going with Paula White Cain. That rolls off the tongue a little bit better. So notice, she's a puppet. Paula White Cain is a puppet. She has a stage name, not Fur, not Friga. No. She doesn't want to be known by Paula Fur Friga. No, she wants to be known by Paula White Cain. And she first started in the trailer park. She was broke. She had a baby. She was a single mother. She was eating, according to her, she was eating government cheese. And she, listen. She was down and out. But then she met somebody like Caesar. And he said, listen, there's lots of ways of making money. Here it is again.
Go find somebody else.
The truth hurts, and you're too scared to tell my aunt because you're behind in your rent.
See? Paula White looked at her circumstances. Here I am in this trailer park. I got this single wide. I'm here with a baby. I'm eating government cheese. I have no prospects. I'm just like Jonathan. I am a loser. Loser. But here comes Caesar. Caesar has a deal. And all Paula's got to do is sign on the dotted line.
Now what?
I don't know. Seems no matter what I try, I fail. If I could just get some money together, just enough to buy some food and pay the rent, I could think clearly without these pressures.
Just a little money for food and rent. Is that it? Is that all you want out of life?
No, not really. Not really. One day I want to be in the White House. One day I want the world to know who I am. One day I want to be famous. One day I want to be rich. One day I want to own an apartment at the Trump Towers. One day I want to have a private jet. One day, one day. One day. I want to be filthy rich. If that's all you can think about, food and rent. Caesar's telling him, you're a small thinker. You have a pea brain. You're an nincompoop, Jonathan. If that's all you can think about, food and rent. I got a bigger plan for you, Jonathan. Bigger plan.
Yes, sir.
You're a clod. A real clod.
I try. I give it my best.
Your best stinks.
Oh, in the name of heaven, Caesar, I've had enough.
I'm the one that's had enough. Get that through your head.
What do you mean?
Let me spell out the cold, hard facts. The way it's going to be and what you're going to do.
Oh, forget it. I'm a failure.
Will you shut up and listen? There's all kinds of ways to get hold of money.
All kinds of ways to get hold. Start a 501c3. Start fleecing people. Start teaching on First Fruits. Start selling books. Go on TBN. Go on the Word Network. Just start asking for money. There's all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways, Paula, to make money. All kinds of ways. But here's the deal. You got to let me, the spirit of Python, you got to let me, the demonic ventriloquist, be in charge. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to shut up and let me be in charge? That's the deal. That's the deal.
Oh, in the name of heaven, Caesar, I've had enough.
I'm the one that's had enough. Get that through your head.
What do you mean?
Let me spell out the cold, hard facts. The way it's going to be and what you're going to do.
Oh, forget it. I'm a failure.
Will you shut up and listen? There's all kinds of ways to get hold of money.
I've tried everything.
You have not tried everything. Now shut up. And listen.
And that's how it all started. That's how it all started, saints. That's how it all started, demonic ventriloquism. Now, as a homework assignment, read the chapter 4, Jensen Franklin, an Old Testament retard, in order to get the Old Testament, and listen, that's loaded. That chapter is from page 69 to 100, and it's loaded with pertinent information. Listen, that chapter is critical. And the second chapter is chapter 5, Jensen Franklin, a New Testament retard, and that's from page 101 to 126. If you want to know a whole lot on demonic ventriloquism, those are the two chapters in the book, Spirit of Python Retard. I will be back in studio tomorrow to finish this series because I'm gonna end with this tomorrow. I don't need to beat a dead horse. I'm pretty sure you got it by now. And especially, listen, if you do like I tell you, if you view this Twilight Zone episode, Caesar and Me, from beginning to end, and if you read those two chapters in the book, Spirit of Python Retard, you can't miss what I'm trying to say. You can't miss it. You cannot miss it because, listen, it just spells it out. It spells it out. That's what it does. So, my brothers and sisters, listen, I'm going to begin a new series in the next couple of days after I finish with this series. I'm going to begin a new series on Paula White's son, Bradley Knight. I call him Socrates, Plato, Einstein Knight. because he really thinks he's a philosopher. When you hear me talk about Socrates, Plato, Einstein, Knight, that's Paula White's son, and I'm going to be doing a series on him. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on him either. Maybe about maybe 3 or 4 shows. But it is extremely necessary that after dealing with Paula White, it is extremely necessary that then I go to her son, and he can prepare himself to call this show because he likes to debate. He really thinks he knows what he's talking about. So this is a wonderful opportunity since Paula White claims that he's a national he's a national speaker. I can make him an international speaker by putting him on this international platform. He doesn't have to stay at national speaker, does Plato, Socrates, Einstein, Knight. No. He can become an international speaker by coming on this show. Well, Saints, that'll do it for today. Love you much. Do your homework. And God bless you.